So let us get started, because we've got some ice cream and cake and soup and I don't know what all else out there. Whose birthdays are we celebrating? What are we celebrating tonight anyway? I don't have a bulletin up here with me.
Got anniversaries galore.
I think so. Rita's got a birthday. Abraham Lincoln's got a birthday. Rosie got a birthday.
Rosalinda and John and Rosalinda.
Really? That song that he sung was appropriate for you, wasn't it? You know, One Day Older or whatever. What was that song, Brother? Yeah, One Day Closer Home. I like that. That was a lovely song. And I also like the one that Naomi sang to us. Beautiful music tonight, no doubt about it. Anyway, we're going to be celebrating those birthdays and anniversaries. And so open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ezekiel. I picked a short book to preach through tonight. We'll start the fourth chapter, okay? We'll skip the first three. That'll get us a little further down the road here. Ezekiel chapter 4. God's talking to him. In this fourth chapter, in verse 1, he says, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem." Okay, so he's going to get him a 4x4 out board out here, and he's going to make a miniature city of Jerusalem on it, okay? And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Now, verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. Now that sounds a little like he's going to play Jesus, doesn't it? He's going to take upon him the iniquity of the house of Israel. Like Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. So he's going to lay there on his left side for 390 days, bearing the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore, thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay hands upon thee, and thou shalt not lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another, till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. And old Ezekiel was a priest before he was a prophet, and I think it was a lot easier being a priest than it was a prophet, because the Lord used him as an object lesson, as a sign to Israel. Go back with me to the second chapter about his call to the ministry. This is good. And he, that is God, said unto me in verse 1 of chapter 2, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hast rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with them. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I gave thee. This is his call to the ministry, so to speak, his prophetic ministry. This continues in chapter 3, go down to verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thou unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Isn't that terrible? He says, I'm going to send you to these people, and you're going to say to them, Thus saith the Lord. But they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to be mean to you. Then in verse 10 of this third chapter, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. So he's been given a message for the Jews in captivity who had been taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 25 of this chapter says, But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And listen to this. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb. You can't talk. And shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. He that heareth, let him hear. And he that forbeareth, let him bear. Let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. My, what a job that guy had. And that laying on his side was a part of it, whatever he did that. By way of further introduction to this, this is the second phase of Nebuchadnezzar's war against Judah. The first one came back in 605 BC when Jehoiakim was the king ruling Israel. That was a time when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, were taken captive to Babylon, along with a whole lot of other Jews, when Nebuchadnezzar came against them. The Bible tells us that King Jehoiakim was bound with fetters, tied up real good, and put in a cage to be carried to Babylon. But in a skirmish, he was killed and cast out on the ground, and his body was dragged away and buried beyond the gates of Jerusalem. That means outside the gates of Jerusalem, quote, with the burial of an ass. In other words, they took his body out and disposed of it just like he was a dead animal. And then in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem a second time, and that's after he had made Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, ruler of Judah. And at that time, the second time, Ezekiel was among the many Judeans who were taken captive to Babylon. And at that time, after Jehoiakim was taken, his brother Zedekiah was made ruler of Judah. So Jehoiakim, the queen mother, and all his servants, his captains, and his officers were carried with a harem of the eunuchs to Babylon. He remained a prisoner there, wearing prison garments for 36 years. In Babylon. That's the king. Now also taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar at this time were all the treasures of the temple and all of the treasures in the king's palace. They took 10,000 captives, 1,000 craftsmen and smiths, men who were especially qualified for special work. They had 7,000 men of might, and those who were strong and apt for war. He left in Judea only those who were old and feeble, disabled, and the poorest of the people in the land. That's all that were left. Now Nebuchadnezzar will return yet a third time in the year 586 BC, after a siege of 16 months. He and his Chaldean soldiers came into the city of Jerusalem and completely destroyed it. They tore down all the houses, the buildings, they scattered the stones. They even went to the temple and they tore it down and ravaged God's house and took all of the instruments down to Babylon. Oh, King Zedekiah, who was Nebuchadnezzar made him king there. He tried to get away and escaped at night, went down as far as Jericho before they caught him. And after they caught him, they killed his sons right before his eyes. And then after they had killed his children, they took a hot poker and put out both of his eyes. So the last thing he saw was his children being killed. Nebuchadnezzar took him down, bound with fetters of brass, to Babylon, and he died. So So it was on July the 9th, 586 B.C., that the 70-year Babylonian captivity began. Now, you need to know this for what's happening here. By the way, as a side, Ezekiel's poor wife died at this final siege of Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 18 tells us about it. And God, for some reason or other, did not allow Ezekiel to weep at her passing. He couldn't shed any tears. Ezekiel prophesied in Babylon for 22 years. And his book covers that period of time. We have no record of his death. Something else. We read this here and perhaps you noticed it. Ezekiel is referred to as the Son of Man. In this book of Ezekiel, 93 times God refers to him as Son of Man. Now, who else in the Bible do you know that is called the Son of Man? You read over in the Gospels, and we find that it was a virgin-born Son of God called Jesus, and he was called Son of Man 88 times. But Ezekiel was called Son of Man 93 times. So you get the idea here that Ezekiel must be a type of Christ, amen? For them to bear the same title like that. And that was Jesus' title in rejection when he was not accepted by his own people. He was rejected, and that's the way Ezekiel was. And in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find something else that's peculiar. 214 times in the book of Ezekiel, you will find the words, the Lord God. Lord is all in capital letters. The Lord God, which is Adonai Jehovah. But you find it very seldom in any other books of the Bible. It's unique to the book of Ezekiel. Now, let's look at Ezekiel here for a moment as a sign to the house of Israel. God had him to lay down on his left side for 390 days. Each day, he said, for a year. And during those 390 days, he was tied down and not allowed to turn over. What was he doing? He was bearing the iniquity of the house of Israel. The house of Israel went into Assyrian captivity in 721 B.C. and 390 years would take us to the time of the fall of the Persian Empire when Alexander the Great led his Grecian armies in battle against them in 331 B.C. Ezekiel bore their iniquity for those 390 years. Then at the end of the 390 days, Ezekiel was allowed to roll over onto his right side. He was again bound in that position, but this time only for 40 days. Remember, each day for a year. That would be 40 years. And this time he was bearing the iniquity for the house of Judah. Now, Let's look at Judah. From the time Ezekiel uttered this prophecy until Cyrus the Persian issued a decree allowing 42,360 Jews to return from captivity to Judea under Zerubbabel in 536 B.C. was 40 years. That ended officially their 70-year Babylonian captivity. So we have a total there, the 390 days on his left side, 40 days on his right side, a total of 430 days. Again, each day representing a year. Let's digress a moment. What did Ezekiel eat during this time that he was tied down and laying there on his side? The Bible tells us that he ate bread. And the bread was made from a mixture of wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and fitches. And they measured his food by weight. He could eat 20 shekels of food a day of bread. Now, a shekel is only 4/10 of an ounce. Not very much, not even half an ounce. He had 20 shekels weight a day. That figures out to 8 ounces of bread. Now, an average loaf of bread is 16 ounces. So he had the equivalent of a half a loaf of bread every day. And from time to time, he was allowed to drink water. And his water was measured out. It was meted out at the sixth part of an hin, H-I-N, not H-E-N. A hin is 3.9 quarts, almost a gallon, almost. Now there are 32 ounces in a quart. 1/6 of an hin would be 20.8 ounces of water a day. There are 16 ounces to the pint, so he had about a pint and a quarter of water a day to drink. Now you still want to be a prophet? Wow. Now the emphasis here in this, I think, is the amount of time. We have 390 days that he lays on his left side for the iniquity of Israel, and 40 days on his right side for the iniquity of Judah, for a total of 430 days. And remember, each day represents a year. Do we have a precedent for this 430 years in the scripture? I want to show you something that I think will be a blessing to you, and you'll appreciate this. About 5 illustrations here. In the year 1892 B.C., God appeared to a man by the name of Abraham. And he said, he made a covenant with him. Said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I'm going to give you this land, all that you see. So he made a covenant promise with him. All it was a promise. 390 years after that covenant was made with Abraham, down in the land of Egypt, there was a 40-year-old Egyptian by the name of, everybody thought he was an Egyptian because he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. His name was Moses because she'd drawn him out of the water. And one day he renounced his Egyptian citizenship and said, "I'm a Hebrew." And he went out and he found an Egyptian who was mistreating a Hebrew slave. And Moses took up the side of that slave and he slew that Egyptian. And he buried him in the sand. But somebody missed him at roll call, started looking for him, found out Moses found himself knee-deep in trouble, and he had to leave town in a hurry. Where'd he go? Out into the wilderness. You remember the rest of the story. He became a shepherd, herding Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep. How long? 40 years. 40 years. Ezekiel laid on his right side, or one or the other, get them mixed up already, for 40 days, each day representing a year. Now, in 1462 B.C., God appeared to him at the burning bush and said, "Go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And he led Israel out of Egypt at what we call the Exodus. What's the time? 430 years. 390. 40 years in the wilderness, total 430. Another one. So they cross dry shod, on dry ground across the Red Sea. The Exodus from Egypt, 1462 B.C. Go forward 390 years. What happened? God spoke to Samuel and he said, "Samuel, the people want a king. Take a horn of oil and go out yonder and you'll find a fellow by the name of Saul, and you pour this anointing oil on top of his head and he's going to be the first king of Israel." And the kingdom of Israel was established. How long from the Exodus? Strange thing, 390 years. And after they were delivered, until Saul became the king, 390 years. What about the 40? Saul was on the throne for 40 years. And then what happened? God sent Samuel down to the house of Jesse at Bethlehem and said, "Anoint David." And David, the man after God's own heart, was chosen to be the king of Israel 430 years after the Exodus. After Moses died, God put Joshua in charge, and he led the children of Israel across the Jordan River on dry ground. They fought the battle of Jericho, went down to Shiloh, and there they pitched the tabernacle, and the land was divided among the 12 tribes of Israel. From that time, from that time until David, three things happened. David was anointed, or declared actually to be the king of Israel at that time. And Jerusalem became the capital of Israel. of all Israel, and the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. Three important things took place. And that time was 390 years. All right. What happened then 40 years after that? David had a son. His name was Solomon. David wanted to build God a house, a temple. God said, no, you're a man of war. You can't do it, but I'll let your son do it. So after David passed on, Solomon became king of Israel. And the first thing that he did was to build the beautiful temple. And that temple was dedicated to God in 516 B.C. Pardon me. Wait a minute. Anyway, built a temple. I haven't got it. But you've got your 390 years and then 40 more years, Solomon builds the temple. Now, one more. At the time of Solomon's death, he died in 945 B.C. We know what happened. The kingdom of Israel split. 10 tribes said, we're going to be the northern nation. We're going to retain the name Israel. The southern said, all right, we'll be Judah and Benjamin. We'll be Judea. So the kingdom split at the death of Solomon. And 390 years down the road, Cyrus founded the Persian Empire, which is now called Iran. And 40 years after that, he ended the captivity and sent the Jews back to build their temple. And 40 years after that, the Jews' restored temple was dedicated in 516 B.C. And the 70-year Babylonian captivity ended. That's 430 years. 390 plus 40. One more. The Old Testament, canon of Scripture. From the writings of Moses in Genesis all the way through to Malachi. Malachi gave his prophecy and it was added to the book. And they put the back cover on it and says the end. The Old Testament was completed. Later, the Jews took a man by the name of Jesus outside the city of Jerusalem, nailed him to a cross, and crucified him, and Jesus died for our sins. 390 years. All right, we still got 40 years to go to make the 430 years. What happened 40 years later? A man by the name of Titus came with the armies of Rome and destroyed the Jews' temple, took over Judea, killed a multitude of the Jews, took many of them into captivity, and they were scattered throughout the nations of the world until 1948. When they were regathered to that place over there called Israel. Let me briefly review a little bit of history, Israel's history with you. We talked about Abraham, God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was hated by his brethren, sold into Egyptian slavery in 1699 BC. His father Jacob sent his brothers down to Egypt 22 years later in 1677 BC, and they moved down there and stayed for 215 years. They were delivered by Moses at the Exodus in 1462 BC. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they were led into Canaan by Joshua in 1422 BC. The land was divided between the 12 tribes at Shiloh 7 years later in 1415 BC. Joshua died 1372 BC. Israel had judges for 367 years until Saul became their first king in 1065 BC. He was followed by David. David was followed by Solomon. And each of the three ruled for 40 years. That's a total of 120 years. After Solomon's death in 945 BC, the kingdom was divided. Israel lasted for 224 years before they went into Assyrian captivity in 721 BC. Judah lasted 135 years further, and they went into Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. And after they were released and returned to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple. And in 516 BC, at the dedication of that temple, the 70-year Babylonian captivity was complete. Now, we learn something from all of this. We learn that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And all those who commit sin become the servants of sin. We learn that sin brings punishment. God is a God of chastisement and judgment. Every sin and every transgression has a just recompense of reward. It was old Robert Ingersoll that said, in nature there's neither rewards nor punishment, there are consequences. But even he even admitted that. Now, someone must bear the iniquities. Someone must pay. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. When you think of Ezekiel laying there, all of those days, 13 months on his side, what was he doing? Bearing the iniquity, Son of Man. But Jesus came and paid it all. Now, the bottom line is this. Somebody has to go and tell. The people who hear, God told Ezekiel, may not listen, but they have to be told anyway, so that they can be without excuse when they stand before God in judgment. Anyway, thanks for listening tonight. We're going to dismiss from this service now and go out here and celebrate the birthdays and anniversaries of all of those who have birthdays and anniversaries during this month of February. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for being here. Thank you for all the good music that we had. Thank you for this time of fellowship that we've had in the Word of God. And I pray tonight that I know we've skimmed a lot of stuff, and it's fairly deep water we were swimming in tonight, but how wonderful it is to have your Word and to know that you are a God of order. And there are times when we can read you like a book. We know what you're going to do because you've already given the precedent for it in the Word of God. And appreciate tonight the Holy Spirit of God that leads us into all truth. Bless now our fellowship together. Bless the food and the ones that prepared it. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.